Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we are discussing What If Season 1, Episode 7. What if Thor were an only child? All that and more of that we have no control over.
Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll.
And I'm Jeff Randall.
And in our third chair, we have J. Scotty St. Clair of the Animation Deliberation Podcast. How you doing, J. Scotty?
I'm ready to party. Let's do this.
Hey, whoa. You calm down there,
yeah,
sir.
Yeah, calm that party energy before it spreads.
I'm at an 8. You need me at a 4?
Yeah.
Okay. Something like that.
Okay, understood.
So those of you who haven't watched the episode, what the hell are you doing here? Go watch it. It was a lot of
fun.
It is
so much fun. It's so much fun. And like, unabashedly, there's no real seriousness in the episode. It's just a silly, like, yep. It's like a Saturday morning cartoon level of seriousness. Like, it's all about,
like,
yeah,
all of it.
It's his mom just needs to stop Thor from partying. This felt like its own Disney movie. Like, I felt like I could, like, you know what I mean? Like, it felt like a Disney movie,
yeah,
about the Thor legend that had nothing to do with Marvel almost, except it was completely full of Marvel characters that were not really similar to how they are. They're all just like party versions of themselves. It was super fun, man.
Yeah.
Right. So what we learned here is the problem with the universe, like as a whole, is Odin.
What do you mean?
Stifling everything up.
Yeah, well, like he kept Loki, you know, eons ago or whatever.
Right, right.
And when he kept Loki and, you know, secretly raised him, like, oh, you don't know you're a frost giant, that disrupted everything and has caused so much strife when everybody could just be partying.
Everybody could be partying and destroying planets, though. That's the...
Everybody could just be partying.
Partying until...
Period. You don't need to continue.
I mean, I'm down. I can't wait to go to Vegas and party hard.
Oh, dude, party hard with Thor?
Yeah. Yeah. Man,
that'd be crazy.
I'm down.
But then again, we saw what happened to Fury when he was like, this is not your planet. He got bunted across.
Cannonballs. Like,
up and over.
But not even on purpose. It wasn't even like they attacked him. It was just, he's in the way of a rogue cannonball.
Right.
It's so good.
And I think that's the problem that the Earth people are trying to see in this, is that they oopsed it. Like, they oopsed, you know, much like the gigantic baby that doesn't know their strength.
Yeah.
Meme that always happens. You know what I'm talking about?
I don't know what you're talking about.
It's in like Animaniacs or whatever. You know, there's always that, that Animaniacs giant baby that's just like, I don't know my own strength. I'm just a baby, but they're like crushing everything.
Yeah.
Exact same with,
okay,
like everybody,
yeah,
who showed up.
Dude, the thing that had me laughing, just cackling more than anything else in this episode was Surtur hitting on Lady Liberty. Oh, it's so dumb.
Yep.
That is the dumbest joke.
And the fact that Clancy Brown was the was the voice there was like so perfect. It was so good.
what a weird, like, I feel the same way about this one that I do about the zombie episode. Like, it's weird, okay, and out of place, and I don't really, like, it doesn't really fit into the like, even the same genre as all the other Marvel movies, but like, I'm so happy we get to see this happen on screen. Like, it's so weird. Yeah. It's like the opposite end of the spectrum of the zombie episode, but it's also like, yeah, really just out of place and strange and fun and just amazing that we get it. That we're getting,
yeah,
I mean, like, the caliber of animation and like writing and voice acting that's on this little 30-minute episode was as good as any Disney movie I've ever seen. Like, it's so good. The writing, it's so funny. It's just wonderful. It felt like we were getting this, like, one-third of a Disney movie. Like, when she's, like, hiding in the bedroom and stuff, like, it just felt like she was, like, a Disney... She reminded me of, like, Ariel or something, like, hiding her fin. I don't know. It just, like, felt weird.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I just got real Disney vibes from the whole thing.
You keep saying Disney vibes, Disney, Disney, Disney. I think what you mean is like teen movie vibes. Of like, oh no, we had a party. My mom's coming. I have to clean up real quick. You guys all have to help.
Oh, for sure. Like, that's the story. Thor is Mike Seaver in this thing, right? Like, he's...
this is Boy Meets Thorold.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to say I felt moments of Dazed and Confused, as well as Ferris Bueller's Day Off, obviously, when he's... Which is nice homage to Homecoming as well, when Peter had his whole race home, and they even had Ferris Bueller's Day Off on the TV screen there. But as far as the tone being different, I do like the comparison to Zombies, because I agree it felt just... tonally divergent in a way, and it felt like the humor was almost like Guardians 2 and Ragnarok humor injected just earlier on, but it was almost like ratcheted up to 11, like let's turn it up to 11.
It's kind of the exact opposite end of the spectrum from the Zombies episode, because like Zombies was so serious.
Oh, for sure. Mm-hmm.
And this is like, what is happening?
But also, like, it felt like a 90s sitcom. Like, the tightness of the story, and just like, let's have a silly party. Oh no, mom's on her way home. We broke the vase. Like, it felt like that classic stupid storyline.
Put it back together.
It really was. Yeah. I mean, like, literally putting the arm back on Lady Liberty and like using his
putting Stonehenge back together.
Oh gosh, it's so stupid. It's so stupid.
The St. Louis Arch, the great gateway to the West, the big arch in St. Louis, had to go back. He's like, oh God.
Oh my gosh, the best joke and the most, like, I don't know, it just reminded me of like Hercules or Lilo and Stitch kind of humor, where when he did the, like, he fixed the Leaning Tower of Pisa.
Yeah, like that one wasn't actually us.
And they don't even hang a lampshade on it. He just does it, and then he's like proud of himself and walks away. Yeah. Like, it's such a good joke. And I feel like I've even seen that joke in something before, but like,
yeah,
it's such a funny joke in this moment.
What I find so freaking fascinating about this episode in particular is that, like, if you look at the cast list as it's done, like, almost everybody came back for their part in this goofy ass episode.
Yeah. It's crazy to have this caliber of actors. Fucking the Grandmaster, when he's like,
Jeff Goldblum, we're keeping the scoots.
Ride like the wind, Topaz.
Ride like the wind, Topaz. We're keeping the scoots. It's like, I need a t-shirt of that, like, right now. I really want, just like.
I need that t-shirt of my life so bad.
Jay Scotty, can you draw me that and I'll print it?
Oh, God.
I think I can make that happen for you.
Scoots! Scoots!
Yeah, no, scoots. Jay Scoots.
No. It was meant to be.
Matt. Okay, Scoots, we need it to be, the shirt needs to be Matt and me, and one of us saying, ride like the wind, we're keeping the Scoots.
Got it.
Oh my God.
It's done.
Yes! Oh, I've never needed something so bad in my life.
Man, it's just so silly and fun. I feel like me and Jeff are being really talkative. What do you think, Jay Scotty?
Oh, no, please gush. Please pontificate. That's what we're all here for. But I want to make a comparison. I'm not sure how it's going to land, because I know this series wasn't received super. I guess it was mixed reception is what I'll say. But I actually got a lot of vibes from MODOK. And I don't know how many people watch MODOK, but just the fact that they're firing off so many jokes, like, pretty much. I think we could spend the whole episode just going over our favorite jokes, and that'll pretty much cover the episode, because it was just going from joke to joke to joke. But even with the whole, like, partying and hedonism, like, bringing the end to the earth, they had that whole snail alien species that came in MODOK, and like, that was their whole motivation, like, let's party till we drop.
They were like, it's party time.
And
they got everybody partying until they died. That was a great episode.
But just so many cameos. We got Scourge, all the Guardians. You mentioned the Grandmaster and Topaz, but I love seeing the Skrulls. That was one of my favorite jokes there too. When Thor was like, "You do me." Oh, you guys really get me. He's a narcissist.
But like, also like surface level narcissism. He's like, Thor thinks the only thing that's important about Thor is the look of Thor, which is like,
right?
Yeah,
that's crazy.
I'm pretty, and that's the most important thing.
Yeah. you captured my look, and that's all I am. Like, you get me.
that's me,
guys.
That's me in a nutshell right there.
Oh, man. It's just, yeah. And then there's, I thought Jane Foster was freaking awesome and lovable in this. Like,
yeah.
Just great, great voice acting. I loved her, like, mistaken saying, gotta go, love you, to Thor after, like, one night with Thor.
Oh my god. There were so many times in this episode where I just guffawed at something like that. Like, I out loud was just like,
yeah.
Like, just cause it was so fun.
I don't know his name, but one of those that got me was the swordsman guy that fights with alongside
Fandral.
Thor. Fandral saying, I named him Gary. Like, just Gary. Killed me. just slayed me completely.
Oh god.
And they bring it up later on. He's like, everyone made it home safe from Alpha Star, even Gary. Eventually.
Even Gary.
Eventually.
Eventually. Oh my god. I love that after like so many like emotionally weighty, incredibly heavy episodes like the zombies and the last one with Killmonger, like we've had so many episodes that are just like, oh my heart, how are you doing this to me? Why? And then this one comes along and it's just like, oh, everything is amazing. Everything is awesome. Like,
yeah.
It's just so much fun.
This felt like
fun.
This felt like 30 minutes of the everything is awesome moments, like the beginning of the Lego movie. It really did.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it landed well. I feel like it landed better than the MODOK series.
Oh, for sure.
Just because, you know, I don't know. I guess I don't have a long-standing relationship with the MODOK franchise.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe that's just my MCU bias. Who would think that I would have such a thing? But like, it felt like this one landed better than all of MODOK that I watched, which was two episodes.
Yeah, it's, man, it's good. It's really, really funny. I would watch, I mean, like, I don't think if they did this every week, it would work. But as a like tension reliever, like you said, like so good. And we finally get the Thor versus Captain Marvel conversation on screen. Like,
totally.
Yeah.
Who's more powerful? And then, you know, we've had that conversation so many times on the podcast.
I don't think though that we got it fully explored the way that, we as fans need it to be explored.
Sure.
Because, but it, you just know, they to were both see holding them back.
Right, they're both holding back. Thor is not the Thor we know because he hasn't trained as hard. He's Party Prince Thor.
Partey Prince Thor.
I thought for sure we were going to get one of your favorite lines, Jeff, which is,
I know exactly.
Put the hammer down.
Yep.
Yeah, they did the setup for it, but not the payoff.
I was bummed.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I love though that we got to see a part of Captain Marvel's power set that like we know from comics but hasn't shown up in live action or in the MCU yet, in that she can absorb any kind of energy and like add that to her own power.
Right. Yeah.
Thor's blasting her with the lightning and like increasing the strength of it, and it feels real DBZ at that moment.
Oh,
like,
totally.
Like, shoot lightning harder.
The music in the background, I felt like was totally referencing DBZ in that moment when you saw the lightning increase and just the wind and waves, like, and the dust.
Yes. Yeah. Oh my god, the dust waves and the shock waves everywhere.
Yeah.
So DBZ. But like in that moment,
Dragon
she's just
Ball Z for those uninitiated. I barely knew what they were talking about, just so I was like, DBZ? Oh, because of the thing. Yeah, it's Dragon Ball Z. Yeah. Got it.
But she's just, you know, she's just standing there taking it like a champ. I'm pretty sure that Captain Marvel would be able to beat Thor, mostly just because she could absorb any kind of energy and dish out some.
Well,
some
but then
pain.
He does beat her, even in his prince party prince mode, by putting Mjolnir on top of her, which I did not expect. When they were fighting, I thought for sure she's gonna pick up Mjolnir.
Yeah,
right.
Like, I don't know why she's not worthy, like being the one, you know, from who's like out defending the galaxy all the time. I thought for sure she'd be worthy and she'd grab that.
Like, of all people.
Yeah. It seemed like
it must be ego, because we got that great Top Gun reference where it's
Cat
asks, is your ego writing checks you can't cash? And I actually loved how unimpressed Maria Hill was with Captain Marvel. It was just like a nice subversion of the character there.
Yeah, it was, and then she tries to blow her up at the end. She'll be fine. Like, she's not that concerned with her either.
And then Rumlow's like, we never get to fire the nukes.
Why? So good. Oh man, and freaking Darcy married Howard the Duck.
Look who came crawling back. This is the duck.
Waddling back, sir. Well, look who came waddling back.
Look who came waddling back.
Well, it's happy hour. You want to get half price nachos? Okay, oh, this isn't a date. Let's just see where this evolves, all right?
Let's see where this evolves. And that was Seth Green. Yes, Seth Green came back to be Howard the Duck, like, of all things.
Yeah, this is the second time. Second time in this series he's come back, which is freaking awesome. And, like, seeing him seducing a human woman was just like throwbacks to like the 80s movie Howard the Duck. I was just like, yes, oh, it's so fun. So fun.
Vindication for that.
Yeah.
For that property. We'll put that in quotes.
One of my favorite lines was just like her trying to defend Thor and be like, listen, however we do this will set the tone for diplomatic relations. And then Darcy's like,
diplomatic relations.
Is that what the kids are calling it these days?
Right. So, we keep gushing about like favorite lines. Yeah. It was just a fun episode. Like,
It's the podcasting problem of podcasting about a comedy. It's just like all you can either do is analyze the joke or laugh and enjoy it. And that's the best thing. That's the best thing I had to say we can do. And Ice Bro Loki. Like what is that? It's so good.
That's Thor's brother from another mother. Brothers forever.
Forever. I love that he abandons him so much.
They were more brotherly, it felt like, at least more, they were more
bro-y.
They were more, not cordial, what's the word?
Friendly?
Amicable?
Amicable. They were more amicably bros in this than they were in the prime, you know, the sacred timeline or whatever. But, you know, it's still that one friend that like you really think has got your back. They're going to be there forever for you. And then when it comes time to clean up because your mom's on the way, they're like, bye. Loki's that friend.
And there's there's some jokes in this that are just like classic freaking jokes that like, I don't know. I've never heard anyone make this joke, but I freaking love it. Thor being like, don't drink too much. Or too little. I'm sure that's just like a dad joke that someone's made and heard, but like it fit the moment so well and made me laugh so hard.
I love how he, like, one of the first things he does is hand off one of the magic flagons, and he's like, you can't drink it all. It's magic. Like, of course Thor would be handing those out.
Yeah.
Like, of course Partey Thor would be just dishing
Thor
those out.
Another moment that I just absolutely love is the badass moment when Jane steps up on top of the car and says, Heimdall! And it, like, reverberates through the universe. And Heimdall's eyes open, and it's, like, this really epic moment. And then she's like, let me try. And Darcy's like, would the owner of the blue Prius, as, like, Jane is getting sucked into the rainbow bridge, like...
The Bifrost, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man. Just cracked me up.
Real funny.
Yeah.
I feel like that the... Like, if we're going to talk about the reverberations for a second, if we could, because we did mention them earlier. I felt like all of that animation in this episode was like stellar, on point. Like every single time, like for instance, when Thor hit in, I think it was in the desert, when he hit in the Mojave, and then you see that shockwave go out. Like they could have just ended it there, like shockwave goes out. But then they had the camera, because, you know, quotes, because it's animated, they had the camera shutter, like, because the shockwave passed the camera, and I was like, it's those little touches like that are just, like, they really know, like, they really, really loved making this episode.
Yeah.
Like, the quality there is just incredible.
Agreed. Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah. There's one thing, though, that we can kind of speculate on.
Oh, yeah, that that scene we left off with, as fun as this episode was, man, yeah.
Yeah, that ending where we got what looked like Infinity Armor?
Vision? Yeah, Infinity Armor Vision? Vision Ultron.
It's like, yeah, Ultron's mandibles, like, I should say that, not covering my face. Ultron's mandibles, like, open up to reveal Vision's face. It's really ominous, but super, super cool.
One of the things, though, that, like, I found so weird about that is, like, Uatu was watching that and just, like, you know, they lived happily ever after. And then he was surprised.
Yeah, that's
really cool.
When he turned and he was like, oh, maybe I spoke too soon. And it looked like there was a portal that those things were coming through.
True.
Like, rippling effect. And I'm starting to think that maybe my theory that I have not yet voiced, so obviously you guys don't know about it. I spoke about it earlier today at work. Any coworkers listening can vouch for me, I guess. I don't know. But I've been holding on to this theory that maybe What If is not just a series of disparate stories. Yeah. Maybe there's a collection point that they're headed toward where they all converge.
Yeah, well, we have talked about it on the podcast a bit in the past where, like, one of the things we had 9 episode names, but they never told us the 10th. And we've all been kind of like speculating that that's going to be a big team up episode where all these universes start to converge for whatever reason.
Right.
I think this is the beginning of that. I really do.
Yeah. I wonder if this might be the, like, the establishment of the threat for that.
Mm.
And, like, cool. this version of Vision, as we've said so many times.
Yes.
This version of Vision is, like, invading the other realms. The other realms.
Yeah.
Invading the other multiverses.
With all of the Infinity Stones and his perfect body that he was going for. So, like, I wonder if we'll get an episode that is, what if Ultron won, and then, like, that will be, like, Ultron devastating the Avengers, and then leaping into the end of this episode or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, then deciding to go conquer more worlds, or he's just from this world because Thor was too distracted and didn't stop him from creating his perfect body.
Yeah. Could be.
But then Ultron would already be running the world, right? Like, so it has to be from a different world.
And I don't think Uatu would voice that surprise that Jeff mentioned. Like,
true.
If he was in a chair, he, like, swiveled in his chair and swung around like, what the hell?
Yeah.
What is that?
I'll have to rewatch that. I didn't catch the surprise of Uatu, so that's neat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like a quick turn where he was like, oh?
Yeah.
A surprise contender.
So, we talked a little bit about, and it's about time to wrap up, and I just want to say, we talked a little bit about Thor's, like, good friend Loki. And how he wanted to keep partying despite Thor's need for him to stop, you know? And, like, him betraying him. But the real betrayal is the fact that apparently Mjolnir kept partying. Like, wow. What the? Like, the party's over, and he's like, everything's cleaned up, and he calls Mjolnir, and Mjolnir's apparently been to New Orleans to get some beads, and he's been to Hawaii to get a lei, and he's got, like, graffiti all over him.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure he had a bra hanging off of him.
Yes! Oh, he did.
Oh, that's so good.
Why are we gendering Mjolnir to be a he?
I don't know.
They just kept partying. I just think it's a funny idea that, like, Mjolnir is a bro that also kept partying, even though it's clearly he could have just not forgotten to clean Mjolnir, but still, I just like the idea that, like, they kept working and the sentient hammer kept partying. He's like, you want to put the hammer
you can't
down?
Put this hammer down.
I'll show you the hammer getting down.
Hey!
Stop. Hammer time.
This was a fun episode.
Really freaking fun episode.
One thing I did want to say real quick is we've talked about so many of the voice actors returning, and as much as I love Dave Bautista, I can understand why they didn't bring him back when this guy, who's ever doing this voice, is is killing it. I can't tell the difference. He's absolutely Fred. Nailing it.
It's Fred Tatasciore.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. That's a big name in animation. Like,
yeah, I recognize the name. I just didn't know it was him doing it. Good to know.
Yep. He also was the voice of Volstagg for like the half a line that Volstagg had.
Oh, okay. Okay. Where that makes sense because they interacted as well. What do you say? Volstagg crashed or something like that or whatever.
Just to reference some more DBZ, I believe, Vermilion One says at Stranded Panda in the live chat, that wasn't Vision, but the ultimate Frieza form of Ultron.
This isn't even my final form.
That's really good.
His power level was over 1 million, I bet.
Probably.
It's over 1 million.
Okay. Mahogany. Well,
Rich only certain Mahogany. People are going to get that one.
Yeah, that's very, very, very specific. Okay. Well, wow. Man.
Deep cut.
Good times.
It's funny how Dr. Kyle Berkeley says it's funny how Drax, the Collector, or the Grandmaster, Nebula, Korg, Howard the Duck, and Rocket still found themselves on Earth just to party. Like, no real explanation, but Earth is the Vegas of the universe. Well, there is the one explanation we get is him saying, "Alert the Nine Realms!" Yeah. And then just people start showing up to party.
Yeah. Like, I question Heimdall in this moment. That was the thing, is like, Heimdall's going to be watching you, and then Heimdall doesn't watch him. Heimdall can watch Thor literally anywhere.
Yeah.
And he doesn't. Like, how does he get past, or how does he get around Heimdall's view and then also call literally everyone to Earth? And how does all of that get past Heimdall's view? Like, man, it's real noisy over there on that Midgard.
Like, that's my head canon is without Loki there to somewhat distract some of Heimdall's attention, Thor has just completely and totally exhausted Heimdall at this point, where he doesn't even want to gaze in his direction if he doesn't have to.
He's doing that parent thing, like, I'm going to assume that you are doing what you're supposed to be doing, because if you weren't, then there would be consequences, which I'm sure you thought about.
Well, he does say, of course. He does say, like, I'm going to the most backwater planet. He won't even notice. like as if Midgard is so off the radar in this particular universe that, Heimdall doesn't really care.
Yeah, I guess that's the question, is like, is Odin still only in charge of nine realms in this version where he gave Loki back? Like, did he just kind of get really good relations with all of the, you know, quote unquote realms, or what? Like, what's the deal?
No clue. No clue.
No clue.
And it doesn't matter. This episode, I mean, with the exception of the weird Ultron ending, which came out of nowhere, for all of us, including the Watcher, apparently, yeah, it's just a super fun and silly episode. And I'd love to see what Ultron fighting Captain Marvel, trying to fight off Ultron in this, like, what's going to happen, man?
Yeah. Oh,
so exciting. So exciting. I feel like this was the best of all worlds. You know, we've had all these dark timelines and this was just party time. This is like all the multiverse exists so that this universe can, you know?
You know what we missed from this episode that we absolutely needed was some Andrew WK.
Mm. Okay.
Because every time he
parties, let's get a party started.
Yeah, I mean, he's the party guy. Party, party, party!
That would have been funny God, if there were, like, celebrities from our world joining in the party.
Oh, my God.
That
would have
been cool.
Missed opportunity.
Okay, well, guys, this is a really fun episode. I hope you guys enjoyed it as much as we did. And we'll be back to do some feedback episodes, or a feedback episode on Monday about it. So if you have any feedback, send it in. And if you want to join us for these live watches, we're doing them every Wednesday, 5:45. We do the live watch on Scener, scener.com/strandedpanda. And then we do the on twitch.tv/strandedpandatv. We do the live podcast where you can write in your feedback live and get it included in the show. So thank you guys for who did that. And we'll be back very soon with more. Oh, Jay Scoots, tell them about your podcast, and you're going to be talking about this some more this week, right?
Yeah, Animation Deliberation, wherever you find your podcast. We are the podcast on the network that takes action animation and cartoons seriously, but not too seriously. So not only do we do weekly deep dives for What If, we've got Young Justice Season 4 just around the corner, and then this one kind of snuck up on me, but Star Wars Visions just dropped, so you know we're going to talk about that, and I think we're going to do some collaboration with the Star Wars Universe podcast for that. So stay tuned for all that stuff. That's TOONED.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah, thanks everybody. We're going to be, we're still doing the review contest for the rest of September. You got a few more days. If you go to strandedpanda.com/contest, any 5-star review given to those 9 Stranded Panda podcasts on that list there, we'll enter you in to win a, Oculus Quest or a Nintendo Switch of your choice. Whichever one you like. And that's all. That's all from us. Check out the full contest rules and all the links to all the iTunes are at that strandedpanda.com/contest. All right. Peace.
Until next time, true believers.
Thank you for joining us for the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. Available everywhere you get podcasts, and now a video version streaming live on twitch.tv/strandedpandatv and available at youtube.com/strandedpanda. And if you'd like to learn more about all of our other podcasts, geeky projects, and ways to support the network, visit strandedpanda.com.